This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Treat Dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills, we've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for Dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I remember very clearly asking my mom when I was little, asking her how to teach me to make a friend. And I remember her saying, "What? You can't teach somebody to make a friend. You just do it." And I remember being crushed because I thought,
typical, that generation response. Yeah.
Totally. And, I definitely tried to, I tried what I could. I wrote a letter to Santa asking for friends. I mean, I can clearly remember that. I know. It's awful, right? I know I hear that back and it's pretty sad. But that was the best that I could come up with.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another very special episode of Talk to Me, Sis. Lisa and I are so excited to be back in the studio and extra excited because we have got a very special guest for you today. We've been promising and now we're delivering. You know her from Netflix's Love on the Spectrum. She is the expert that shows up intermittently throughout the show to guide the cast members through their love endeavors, but she also happens to be on the spectrum herself, which makes this conversation extra interesting. We have got Jennifer Cook joining us in the studio today, and we are so excited to talk to her about all things her life, love on the spectrum, and autism in general.
Yes, so excited to finally have Jennifer. I know we've been doing the podcast for a while. We did a segment with all the moms, with some of the dads, and just really excited to get Jennifer on board. Got the schedules coordinated, so we're really excited to have a great conversation with her and let you guys listen to somebody else besides just Nikki and I all the time.
Yes, I'm so excited to hear her perspectives and maybe get a little bit of juicy behind-the-scenes info from her and also her own personal journey, I think, is going to be fascinating as an adult woman on the spectrum who also happens to be married and a mom. So we're going to get all kinds of different perspectives from her.
And fun fact, Nikki, which I don't think you will know.
Yeah.
She was filmed in my house. She came here.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. I thought it was really great, but the scene of her working with Connor was cut from season 2.
Wow. Okay. So she
did a whole morning. We did a whole morning with her. And that just didn't make it in. I don't know why. It's obviously dealer's choice with the editing. So but we did get to have her here at our house and it was fun.
Yeah, very fun. And, we actually never met until long after filming, until one of the group outings in California. So she had met Tanner long before she met any of the rest of the family. So I was not there when she filmed with him. So
okay, cool.
Yeah, very different experience.
Did she do a face-to-face with Tanner? I can't remember. Was it all Zoom?
She did. She went to his apartment in Clemson and they did a virtual as well. She's done both with him. Yeah, and he loves her. Amazing. So this is exciting. I'm excited to have her. But tell me about you. What's been going on?
Just, crazy running around this summer, just trying to get Connor everywhere he needs to be and the family and just fun, exciting things. We had, I don't know if I've already shared, but we had a proposal, which obviously is super exciting.
Very exciting.
But I've had weird things. I don't know. It's an older home that I live in, and I don't know if I need to come and just get it sealed or burned completely to the ground. I don't know. But I don't know if you follow my social media. If you don't worry about it. But I had an incident with a palmetto bug that was recently in my shoe that I purchased. Well, I recently had a lizard or a skink or a gecko or I don't know.
One of the, was it one of the little green ones?
I didn't get that close initially. It's been a journey. It was last week. Connor, I dropped him off and I ran to the grocery store. And in the interim, he's like calling me like it's DEFCON 5.
Right.
And like a SWAT team's on the roof. And he's right. Like, there's a lizard in the living room and I don't know what to do. And
that's so funny.
Get home. It was funny. But it was this thing. It was hanging on the curtain. I did a little post about it.
Yes.
But then to follow up, like I just, you know, I was like, comments, please tell me what to do. I really didn't want to have any initial contact with it. So to make a long story short, I stepped away. I saw it on the curtain. I decided, you know, I'll give you your space and maybe you can find your way out the way you came in. I came back out. I went to my office and worked, came back to my kitchen, and the guy was in the middle of my kitchen floor, which it's a bold move because I have dogs. Right.
Yeah. And he's like putting himself right out there for the picking.
Right in the middle of the floor. But I walked in and he was not big, but he looked at me and then ran under my dishwasher.
Lovely. Is he still, has he formed himself a little home there?
This was last week. Okay. And I just thought, I wish you well, pal. I just hope you.
Did he bring his family and friends?
No. So I came home from a weekend away yesterday.
Right.
And I stepped out of the office and he's back in the middle of the kitchen.
Okay. You need Tanner to come over. Tanner loves a lizard. Fun fact, we have them all over because, you know, we live out in the country. They're all over our porches at all times. He'll let them bite his finger and walk around with them hanging off.
All right, T. I can't do that one.
You need him to
come
over.
So I manned up yesterday. I did man up. I'll finish the story really quick. So I was like, dude, I don't know what. He's very brave. He does not care that there's three dogs that could chomp on him. He's just sitting there. So he ran to some baseboarding and I got a Tupperware container and I chased. I didn't have any initial content. I chased him in and now he's outside escorted
Lovely.
By me.
Okay,
I manned up, but that was my weird, come on, what's with the pests?
Tragedy averted. You no longer have a lizard making his home under your dishwasher.
Apocalypse at my house, everybody.
Exactly.
I'm like, is this like some sort of like, you know, there's pestilence that come through first? Like what's happening next?
Like the plagues.
Yeah. I don't know. Locusts are next.
Ancient Egypt, exactly what's coming next.
I don't know.
My God.
So anyway, it's not that crazy, but I'm like, this damn thing hung out here for like 5 days. I was gone.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I never like to see anything that can crawl and move on its own in my house, particularly in my kitchen. It gives me the, ugh.
Or I need to switch car insurance. I don't know.
It's one or the other.
Not branded here, but maybe I need to switch car insurance.
I am very glad to hear that he has been, evicted from your home.
Escorted, evicted, bye.
Exactly.
Anyway, what's going on over there? What's been happening in
We've had a quieter few days. Nothing really unusual has been going on, which is actually so nice. I'm thrilled about it. Tanner was home over the weekend, just returned him to Clemson yesterday. Really nice to have him home just for a quiet few days. We went on a wonderful hike the other day. Oh, well, maybe this is kind of the plot twist, I guess. Tanner and I and Maverick and two of my dearest girlfriends went on a 8-mile hike in the mountains of North Carolina on Sunday.
Sounds fun.
Had to use ropes to get up and down the mountain, you know, going over rocks, over mountain streams.
Did you bring ropes or were they supplied?
They're there. They're already like hooked up to the trees. It's like a known hiking trail. So Tanner, who, you know, I mean, he and Maverick, 27 and 20, so I assume they would, you know, blow through it with no problem, and they both did. But Tanner, with all the traveling and everything, has not been as regimented with his workouts, and he walks all the time, like he walks a lot. That just has missed a lot and been more inconsistent. So I was kind of curious, like wondering, like, well, this, you know, it's hard. An 8-mile hike is a hard workout.
With ropes.
I was like, is he going to really, like, struggle or be out of breath? Not only did homeboy not struggle, he's like, shing, I mean, like in front of everybody, blazing the trail, looking around, like a couple times we caught him looking at his watch, like, what are you doing?
Like, where's everybody?
Saw the ropes, just picked him up, Like, he's going down the mountain. I mean, Maverick did great too, which I expected. But I kind of wondered how Tank would do. And
are the ropes going up or are you rappelling down?
No, you're not actually rappelling. They're just to help you balance. And they're like bungee cords, like between trees. And so it's just something for you to hold on to and kind of like balance yourself with as you're going down this steep mountain toward the waterfalls. And then you have to use them to get yourself back up. And he just flew through everything. Like every stream that we hit, hands in pockets, backpack, heavy backpack on the back, ding, 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 across the stream.
And this is Smith family fun.
Yeah. And April and Selena, my friends, we were all looking at each other like, does he do this on the reg and doesn't tell us like what's going on? Like, why is he so accomplished at this? And then on Monday we wake up. I mean, it was a long day and it was like 2.5 hours in the car each way. And I was like, Tank, are you sore? He goes, no.
It's like, so wait. Okay. You went 2.5 hours, decided to go through a hellish, torturous bungee cord rope needing course. And then for shits and giggles, rode 2.5 hours home.
Just for shits and giggles. Yes. That was just what we did for fun on Sunday.
Note to self, Nikki's not planning a girls' weekend I'm going to. Where's the champagne massage?
We do love those things too, but I will say it was.
I know. Good
it
for
was
you,
fun.
Nikki. No, I'm just jealous. I'm jealous I can't do it.
It was really, really fun. So anyway, Lise, yes. Yeah, so that was our big physical feat of the week. I feel good if we don't have to accomplish anything else. And Tank is, as usual, surprising everybody. So that kind of wraps that up, that section up for us.
And note to self, not going anywhere with you. Anytime.
Don't accept any invitations.
Not getting me into your lair.
Exactly.
Anyway.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Anyway. Well, I'm so excited, Nikki, to bring in our guest. Like, is she our first official guest from the reboot?
I think she is. Yes.
This is actually a little bit of a momentous occasion, but let's get her in here.
We are so excited to welcome Jennifer Cook to the new and improved Talk to Me Sis. Thanks for being here, Jennifer.
Welcome, Jennifer. I appreciate so much being with you.
Yes, we're thrilled to have you.
so glad you're here. And I know it sounds like we, you know, we chatted a little bit before we turned on that you've had kind of a morning, a lot of curveballs thrown at you. And,
you know,
we are just grateful that you're navigating through it.
It's called reality TV and reality podcasts for a reason, right? I mean, absolutely. Right. If you can't be real in this kind of situation, then you've got a problem. So
no worries. You're amazing. And you look great despite everything that's been going on. So thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Like before Love on the Spectrum, I think we were thinking like kind of who is Jennifer?
You know, I know this chick. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know,
where did you come from?
You know, just like, we like to, we do recognize like Lise and Nikki were humans before they met our, you know, husbands or we had our children. And, you know, who are you? I saw you've done some really cool content on your page where there's this, you're beautiful cheerleader.
Oh,
right. Back in the day.
Like, back in the day.
So, you know, I'm really interested in kind of like, yeah, just bring us into like who you were and your journey up into where we are today and how we know you.
So the cheering was back in college. Yeah, that was, I was definitely the perfectionist, right? That was me.
Okay.
I was the play by all the rules. You know, if you tell me, if the teacher said jump, it was how high and what mark do I need to leave on the wall at the same time to make sure that you see that I've done it correctly. Thank you. And that was really just me finding my way in the sense that I needed, without realizing it, I needed a little bit more guidance as to what was a good job done. And so by making sure that I was always following the rules and trying to exceed them in every way, shape, or form, which is really the way it was, that was kind of my way of making sure I was doing things right. I've heard other women on the spectrum use this phrase, and I like this. I was being right. I was doing human right. I used to read biographies all the time. That was my special interest. One of them was Little House on the Prairie. And I don't mean the TV show, although I have watched every single episode of that back in the day, too. No, it was reading and studying. Like, I could tell you the family tree of Laura Ingalls Wilder, like, to an annoying degree.
Gosh.
Like, I know what day she was born, even to this day. But it was about whether it was a, you know, somebody from the past or somebody from the present. It was sort of taking chunks of their lives and using them, yes, as role models, but as guides so that I could mimic.
Okay.
It was really about mimicking and looking to see what I could bring into my life. But I mean, it was too an extreme that it was, you know, they almost felt like friends as opposed to, when I was in middle school, I was bullied terribly, as many kids on the spectrum go through, as many kids go through, right? I was bullied really badly in middle school. And so that was almost like my friends were these you know, characters.
The characters and these characters. Okay, that was like your world that you created for yourself.
Completely,
so,
yeah.
I have a question, Jennifer. So, like, did you have growing up mom, dad, siblings? When you were bullied, did you have some siblings that you could at least have your back at lunch or at recess?
I'm an only child.
Okay.
Oh.
So, no, it was me. Yeah. And back in the day, you know, the answer given to my mom was she'll figure it out. And, you know, and no, you know, when you have the entire class literally playing tricks on you in front of the class, you know, it was bad. It was really, really bad in middle school in particular, which is why later in the journey, I taught briefly and I wanted to teach middle school because I wanted to be that teacher who the kids could come and have lunch in there if they wanted and have a sort of a safe space. Things got much better, you know, to use that phrase that my kids have taught me, like there was a glow up in high school. And and that sadly helped, right? Like that shouldn't be a thing, but it did. And so suddenly, you know, there were opportunities that were available, you know, that maybe hadn't been before. And social things became, when I say social things became easier, I mean, people were easier towards me. I had, you know, more opportunity because it was about, I mean, if you could get the guy kind of thing. Then the girls were following.
Yeah.
I mean, that was right. I mean,
so the invitation.
Way,
so you started to turn some heads.
Parties were open.
Woman.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You went to parties and all of that.
To an extreme in the sense that, so I did musical theater growing up and I danced for like 20 years. That was my passion. But in high school, I had the lead in our school play. And it was Damn Yankees, which you may or may not have heard of. But there's a song that you'll have. Okay. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
Yep.
So that was me. I was Lola. So at 15, I look back on this now as the mother of a daughter and I'm like, oh my would. But at 15, I was like, what were they thinking? I was doing a striptease in front of 800 people 3 nights in a row.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that'll
at a high school play?
Yeah.
At a high school play?
Can I ask, is it gauche to ask, like, when did you graduate high school? Because I feel like we're in similar. I feel,
93.
Okay. You're just a little bit younger. Okay.
Yeah, just smidgen. Yeah. We're right around.
Isn't that wild what was okay back then?
Yes.
I can't even imagine doing that right now.
No,
right?
It would never happen now.
I remember our high school pep rally, our cheerleaders did like push it, and it was like salt and pepper push it, and it was naughty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it was bad. But we all thought it was cool, you know?
I remember my dad said that song once, doing the parent thing, going, what are they pushing, Jenny? And I was, I don't know. The limits, the borders, I don't know.
I don't know. We kind of jumped right into like your middle school, early teenage years.
Yeah.
So you were undiagnosed as a young person, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So throughout, and you said you're an only child, throughout your like grade school years and formative years, was there any thought in your mind, like, were you thinking, I'm different, I don't fit in with my peers, I think differently, I learn differently, I feel that, like, what was happening in your internal world? And I know it's different for an only child, you know, because if you have siblings, maybe they're saying, hey, mom, Jennifer does this, but it was just you. So what was that like?
Yeah, no, 100%. And again, it was always blamed on either intelligence or what you just said, Nikki, she's an only child. So she doesn't have anybody to like mimic at home.
To model after,
right. So what I was doing was I was copying movies and TV, right? And books, lots and lots of books.
What is interesting, Jennifer, is that Connor literally, I describe it as scaffolding on a building. Like he scaffolds his social interactions through books and scenes and movies. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lifeline to him.
Absolutely. For me.
And it's also burned him.
Bam. So one of the things that I think goes along with this, that's interesting, that goes along with the show that we're on, right? A lot of times you'll hear from people on the spectrum, like, I'm terrible at flirting, or I don't know how to flirt. I think especially for some women, it can go the other way, in that I used to, like you're saying, at least I would study to the point of like, do y'all remember, what was the song? It was a Billy Idol song. And Rock the Cradle.
Cradle of Love. Yes. Loved it. Yeah.
Okay. But the video is, you look back on it now and it's like a teenage girl rolling around that he's into.
Yeah.
Like
not
tripping. Right.
Not
like
cool.
She's
like
young.
Yeah.
And I can clearly remember mimicking it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, because if that's what's going to get, not the attention as far as like all the attention, like, but if that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Right.
That's
to be cool.
Then that's what I'm going to do.
So, I want to see like right there, Jennifer, not to interrupt you, but like what you just said too. And I think about like, Nikki, you were in that same age group.
Yep.
I have actually recently said to my daughter, the music that I grew up with, it was all centered around women were objects for men.
Completely.
Like 100%. We were nothing without men.
Yeah.
Right. All cried out over you. Like we were all, I need a hero, Laura Branigan. Like what molded us was, you are not complete unless you find a man.
Absolutely. And you need to be desirable to a man.
And you need to be desirable. And when he leaves you, you're just crying tears and that's it. So it's interesting. And that's teeing you up for.
And teeing me up for then getting on stage and being told to strip your clothes off.
Yeah.
And so thinking, when you get a standing ovation for that 3 nights in a row, you're getting it because you've been, because I had been practicing for a while knowing what to do and how to be, you know, sexy. And so I remember very clearly, like, my nickname in high school was the flirt. I had a couple, but one, and they were all nice, don't worry. Like, but,
we'll be fighting Jennifer.
I know. Right. And I was the flirt. And that was said jokingly, but I wasn't doing it intentionally often. I was, and this has gotten me in trouble even as an adult, but where I will sit and be genuinely, I mean, y'all know, you know how to do this too, right? You sit there and you're paying genuine attention to someone. And especially if it's people who have often not felt seen and heard, and I'm genuinely interested, just that enough, or I'm very conscious about, am I making eye contact, right? Like that I'm doing it right. Like I'm very conscious of, or holding my body just right. That's from dance. I learned positioning and all these things. And so without intending to, you get yourself in some pretty precarious situations where I, you know, and I can remember clearly, like, I'm trying to think, this would have been like, I was at college. I don't know. Some guy asked me, did I want to come back to his room and listen to some music? And I was like, sure. Because I actually thought that's what we were going to do.
Like, right? You didn't read the double meaning there. See, like, I would have caught that.
Oh yeah. I love music. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Let me guess. Billy Idol. No. Right. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's exactly that. So when I got to college, one of the foundational things that I did was I ended up rushing, and I didn't expect to do that. But joining a sorority was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
I was wondering what you were going to say. I kind of was like,
I'm wondering how that's, right?
Yeah, right. Because it can be the worst or the best. Jennifer, during your growing up years, what about your relationship with your parents? Were they noticing things? Did they have suspicions? I mean, I know, you know, like when we were children, autism was
no, right.
Right. Autism was not a word. We didn't, I mean, it was a word, but it was not a word any of us knew. I didn't, certainly didn't know it.
By second grade, I was running into problems with the other kids. But by seventh grade, my mom took me to a psychologist who told me that I was just being difficult and making my mom cry. So stop it already. I can completely, you know.
Okay.
Yet. Yeah.
Okay. Great. So,
thank you. That was helpful.
Thanks.
That.
Yeah. Right.
And that really, you know, obviously that didn't do her any good either, because she had no idea what to do to help.
And I don't know, because if your mom's in the generation of our moms, which sounds like my mom was raised to not critically think or question professionals.
Absolutely. Oh.
So when a doctor told her something, by golly, that's it.
And that is the answer.
So there's no critical thinking.
No, my mom was the product of Catholic schools. A little, I mean, you don't mess with the nuns.
Yeah, no, exactly. So you're the one. And so all of this to say, it makes me so happy now. And your daughter, I'm sure, Jennifer, and I know yours, Nikki, and mine, we've got this new breed of women that I thank God.
Totally different.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Completely. And I do, I feel for her, because I know her being my mom in this case. My dad was clearly looking back. My dad passed away almost 20 years ago, but he very clearly was, you know, has been on the spectrum now. I mean, he was
really?
The typical, he was the typical absent-minded professor, brilliant man who, you know, couldn't pick out his own clothes day to day.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
interesting.
That sort of thing, right? If he would go into social situations where he knew the people and maybe had known them for decades and still would not remember their names, you know,
right.
I think it was facial blindness to some degree, actually.
Yeah.
I think that was part of it with him. But anyway.
Was he actually a professor, or was
no,
that just
he was an attorney?
Attorney. Okay. So
he's brilliant. See, and that's what I call Connor. I mean, just kind of not to do anything, you know, say anything specific to keep his dignity in place, and I don't want permission to share details, but like brilliant, brilliant man. But if we're trying to get out the door for a trip or something, there's just a lot of executive functioning there. That's just like,
well, that's the EF stuff is like off the charts. Yeah. Oh, 100%. That's the hardest. I think. Seeing your being the parent to spectrum kids, I think the hardest thing, first of all, is seeing your child suffer, right? Like seeing your child want to fit in and not, or having hurtful things said. But the second thing, just the practical stuff is the EF stuff. Come on, we're trying to get out the door, and it's
And you're trying to be understanding, but at the same point, you gotta go.
Right. You get into the mix of reality. I'm trying to be tenderhearted. I really am trying to listen. And also the world is demanding things of us. How do we make it all happen?
It's a catch-22 that never ends. Yeah. It really is. And you really want to use it as a teaching moment. You don't always have time. And then it's going to mess them up if they're late. It's hard.
To all your questions, Nikki, which are very good ones. My mom lives nearby because as an only child, my children are her only grandchildren. So I see her almost every day. Yeah.
Which
is really great. And it's been phenomenal for the kids, for sure. But definitely, like, she questions the way she did things. And I feel badly for that, because she did the best she could. She didn't know what to do, really, you know?
And she was told when she did seek help, like, your daughter's being an obstinate brat.
Right.
Ooh, right. You know? And she didn't know to question anyone. So she just took that, and she probably felt a sense of failure, like, oh, what have I done wrong?
Absolutely.
And was probably blaming herself.
100%, right? And I think my mom was always a very average student, a solid B student, you know?
Yeah.
Right, like most people are, right? You know, real solid B student. If she always says, if I got an A, it was like, whoa, if I got a C, the world didn't end. You know, there's that sort of thing, you know?
Right,
she she, but a lot of her girlfriends were really, really good students. And she used to think, like, if that's the key, that's the thing. If you can be a really good student, if you're really smart, everything goes easily. So along comes me, and that's my skill set. And she did not understand why then things were hard. It didn't make sense to her.
She, yeah.
Because she's very socially savvy. She was the only woman on the town council for 12 years in my town. Like, she would, and was, wow. You know, she, I never could have navigated those things that she does. But to her, what she could do socially seemed like a no-brainer, which it's not, right? We know now that those
it requires a lot of skill. Yeah.
Yeah, lots of skill, right? No, but so for her, I remember very clearly asking my mom when I was little, asking her how to teach me to make a friend. And she said, and she was a little rough on, and she just, I remember her saying, "What? You can't teach somebody to make a friend, you just do it." And I remember being crushed because I thought,
typical, you know, that generation response. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. And, you know, I definitely tried what I could. I wrote a letter to Santa asking for friends. I mean, I can clearly remember that.
Oh, and,
yeah, I know. It's awful, right? I know, I hear that back and it's pretty sad. But that was the best that I could come up with.
And not to cut you off at all, but a truth, I feel like you're saying a truth that Lisa and I have touched on in the last couple episodes, that, like, you know, when you're parenting, and we have a lot of young moms listening or younger moms listening, you only know what you know. You know, when I look back through Tanner's journey, oh my gosh, there's a million things I would do differently. Mm-hmm. I would tweak this. I'd do less of this therapy, more of that. I would have sprinkled in more of this. I would have not even worried about that. I would have thrown that out the window that we tried.
Yeah.
But I just want other moms and people in general to hear that when you are navigating the world of a new diagnosis of autism, whether you're the parent or the person or the sibling or the whatever, you only know what you know.
That's right.
Right then. And most people are really, really trying to help their loved one in the best way. I just hope that we all can look at each other with grace. You know what I mean? Like, because you only know what you know. You know, like when Lisa and I were handed these diagnoses for our kids, we knew what the experts told us.
Right.
And we were not expecting it. You know, and I'm sure same for your parents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So as things got better in high school and then you move on to your college years, tell us, like, the next phase. Like, at what point did you get diagnosed?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't until after my kids, but the thing that happened in college.
Wow. So much later. Later.
Yeah. But the thing that happened in college that I think that was, it's important to kind of talk about also is I was in a relationship that was abusive for 2 years. And that is something, unfortunately, that you see.
Was he another student? Was he your peer? Was he older?
Yeah. He was 2 years older. So, you know, two grades ahead. But I mean, he was literally, he was the president of his fraternity. He played Jesus in the passion play at church. I mean, like.
Oh, wow.
Right. So Mr.
Like, on the surface, like Mr. Clean, perfect. Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And I think it's important to talk about because it was such a pinnacle, like for a while, it never starts off bad, right? Like, obviously,
right.
You wouldn't stay in something that was bad in the beginning, right? And it was such a pinnacle of high highs. And for somebody who had felt on the outside, I felt so on the inside and so special and so, I mean, he literally, like, I was pinned in to his fraternity. So he literally, like, climbed a ladder with a whole fraternity singing under my room to me. You know, I mean, it was like
so a romantic. Big deal. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Completely.
Like, you're in the Pretty in Pink movie right
That's
there.
That's what I felt like. It was the best, you know.
You're Molly Ringwald. You've ended the red hair. Yeah.
I know. I felt like Ringwald. But when things got ugly, it was very easy for me to believe that things were, that it was my fault, that I was doing X wrong or Y wrong. And, you know, and then that led to this. And I was the reason that he was mad, or I was the reason that he was upset, or whatever the case may be.
So how did you break free from this guy who went from, like, literally Prince Charming to, like,
not,
you know, the Prince of Death, you know, like,
exactly.
What?
Exactly. You know, I guess we all have our breaking points, and you can still get me here. But I'll kind of tell you, I remember very clearly, it was summer break. I was about to be a senior. He had graduated.
Yeah.
And we were both in Rhode Island, Providence, in Rhode Island. I went to Brown, so right there in Providence. And
very smart. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I was about to say, oh, did you? Wow.
And I said, is there anything I need to know that, because he was just acting funny. And he said, yeah. Last week I got bored of looking at you, so I went down to the strip club for breakfast. Oh. That was my moment. I had bruises on my arms before. I had, you know, had things thrown at me, spat in my face. And yet that was my moment.
And you're like, you know what? I don't need this. Yeah.
Right. That's just not gonna, you know, that's just not nice. There's like nothing that I could have done to earn that, I guess.
To earn that. I was just going to say, there's no way you deserve that. No. Right, exactly.
And so but that was the end of that.
As an autistic woman in this situation, like, it's heartbreaking as a mom. You just cut my mom heart. Because I'm listening to this and I'm like, look how brutal it was before you clocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it. It really was. Okay, I was diagnosed in 2011. Yeah. I wrote my first book the next year. And the second book was coming out before the first book was on shelves yet. Does that make sense? Like I proposed it. I was going to a therapist, and the one who had diagnosed me, and she said something, and I started scribbling down, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, well, that was a social rule. You don't realize it, but that was, you just said a social rule. And so I'm going to write it down so I can understand it and remember it and think about it later. And she said, you know, that would make a cool book. And I said, I don't think anyone would read said book because it's just me. Like, how many people actually need this? Well, she insisted that I at least propose it to the editor, which I did. It became a book. It's in 8 languages.
Like, oh, wow.
It's a, you know, in English alone, 200,000 copies. Like,
but this is not Autism in Heels.
No, it's called The After Kids Secret Book of Social Rules. And it began as my book for myself, right? But that was relief to me because it was like, okay, I hated geometry, but if we all remember back to geometry, the if-then statements, right? Like, if it's this, then this is what I can do about it, right? Like, if I get nervous in social situations, I can smile quietly and be looking for these moments of conversation to jump back into, right? Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, like, I remember one of the ones for me was this gift of discovering that, in fact, in trying to be perfect, that I was running people off and that it made them not want to be friends with me. And so instead, be more like a tightrope walker, the idea being that, you know, everybody cheers for the one who kind of wibble wobbles and keeps it going, gets to the other end. So I went through and the whole thing, I actually studied the ambassadors, like what they send to foreign ambassadors, to the Secretary of State says to foreign ambassadors when they're going to come live in the United States for social decorum.
How to integrate and how to adjust. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like so on brand and harkens back to what you were doing in elementary school.
Yeah.
On how to survive with your biographies, your Laura Ingalls Wilder and all of that. Mm-hmm. But then when I'm listening to this, because I would align myself more with your mom. Like I was maybe a C+, B- student.
Me too.
I'm just being honest.
No, like but most, I of the, was most of the world.
Street smart, savvy, like socially, same. Like very, very ahead of my time.
Yes.
I'm like seeing games within a game all the time around me. I'm reading people. That is second nature to me. But when I'm hearing you, Jennifer, again, you're just touching a part of my soul. Like it sounds so exhausting.
Yeah.
But is it the part of your brain that studies and locks things in? Was it not exhausting to you to learn it that way? I mean, I don't know. As a
to learn it that way, it was a great question. That's a great question, Lise. To learn it that way, probably less. It was more, well, especially after the diagnosis, it was like exhilarating because it was okay. I can do something about this, right? But
and it fit the way you learned. Okay, because I'm listening to you going, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted.
Right.
Yeah.
It was. It is. What's hard is that because of the way I present. And because of the, if you want to call it, the part of the spectrum that I fit into, people don't anticipate that I'm thinking all the time, that I'm trying desperately to read the room, right? But I am.
Like you're going through files in your brain is what I picture. Like you're.
100%. Right. So where it's easy, you know, social banter for everybody else who's sitting at the same cocktail table as I am, right? And I am so aware of. When do I say something? When do I not say something? Did they mean that? Did they not mean that? Was I trying? You, like, while also trying to actually say the stuff, right? And so right. people think that, right, that it's, there's this confidence, which I guess there is at this point, but it's a confidence born of studying.
Yep.
You know, as opposed to just natural instinct.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I am so fat. And I'm also just the more, I mean, I know I've seen you at social stuff, but we're always being pulled in different directions. And just to even hear how much you're like my son is just really interesting to me. And I'm wondering if like, this is why Connor burns out really quick when we're at stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%. You come down, you come, it's the social hangover, right? Like you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. And it definitely for sure. And I've seen that with my kids. They, you know, where other people are having a great time and nothing's wrong, but they're like, okay, I'm done. I need to withdraw a little bit for a while. And it looks then like they're not interested in socializing. They are, this is especially
they just need to recharge.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So, okay. So you're making your way through Brown. Did you graduate from there?
Yeah. Went there. Okay. And I went to grad school. Well, then I worked for a little while for 2 years after Brown, as a domestic violence counselor. That's how
I took your life experience into a career field. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's literally what I have done my whole life. And that's what I've done with the autism stuff, right? Is my mom's breast cancer survivor. And so she taught me, you know, when life knocks you down, lift somebody else up. That was the mantra that I was raised on. So for me, it was the first book I ever wrote was called Asperger's, because we were diagnosed with Asperger's back in the day. That was the word.
Yep. Right? That's what Connor got.
That was Connor. I remember you saying
Tanner got that too, believe it or not. That was one of the ones he got. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Right. Like it was, which is still part of the thing. Now it just gets confusing. But at the time that was so, hence Asperger's. But the first book I wrote was just about what I was doing with my kids and why it was kind of working. But that's skipping ahead. I got into the domestic violence work because I was trying to help people who were going through similar things to me, although in lots of different backgrounds and lots of, you know, lots of different experiences. And then I went back to grad school for social work at Columbia in New York City.
Okay.
So that was master's work.
You don't go to just like any little community college down the road.
You go just any old college.
You know, that's like so funny. You
came to play.
Yeah. You know, why not? Right. If you can do it, if you can hack it, why the heck not?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
But I have to say that was my fun for me. My honors thesis in college was on Barbie. So when the autistic Barbie came out, I was freaking out.
Yes. Freaking that's out. So cool.
That's what I got for Mother's Day. It was an autistic Barbie. She's down there. You can see her.
Yeah. That's so cool. So Jen, okay. So when did marriage and motherhood come into your life after your graduate work?
Yeah. Pretty soon. I got married in, when the heck did I get married? 01. And there was a surprise not too long afterwards. So by 03, I was a mom. We weren't expecting that yet. So, but there she was. So that was kind of fast. So I have three within six, which is, you know, pretty balanced on they're each 3 years apart. Three within nine, sorry.
The gap,
3 years apart. And so it was a girl and then two boys. And my youngest is the only one who was diagnosed after me. Actually, their dad was diagnosed as well. So they got it from both ends. And my daughter was diagnosed, then my one son, then me, then the youngest.
Okay, wow.
So I joke that I wouldn't, it was all Asperger diagnoses. I wouldn't have known what to do with the last one if you were neurotypical,
I
wouldn't know how to handle that. I would have driven them crazy with all my analytical everything. And that's how I started getting into the work, because it was just the way I was responding to them and the way I was teaching them at home and without meaning to, therapizing them, for lack of a better term, probably overly to some degree, but it's just how my brain worked and intensely. And I didn't ever know how to really switch off of that. That's how I got into the autism work to start with.
So describe to us some of that therapizing with your kids. Like, was this just like you're thinking, okay, this is how it would have been better for my brain to learn, so this is what I'm going to give to my children? Or was this just more parenting strategies you're coming up with? Or
I was always fascinated by Montessori teaching. Mm-hmm. And Montessori uses concrete tools to teach abstract concepts. I had taught Maura, my daughter. We were doing some exploring of summer. And so we were doing gardening, and then we were doing leaf tracing, and I had given her puzzle. Like, everything I gave the kids, probably looking back, was very academic without meaning to be, but it was a puzzle made out of the parts of plants. So she was playing with it, and then you would label them and whatever else. And she was, I think, 6 at the time. And as she was labeling the parts of the different plants and blah, blah, blah. And maybe 2 days later, we were talking about this first book that I was writing. And she said, well, who's it for? And I said, well, it's for people who feel marginalized. And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe we're going to break that down for the 6-year-old.
Yeah, she's 6. Know? Exactly. Yeah.
So I said to her, and then she stops me because she goes, wait, marginalized, what's that? And I said, well, and I was going to say something about like the margin on a paper. Or I don't, you know, anyway. So she goes, oh, wait, like the margin of the leaf is the outer border. So is it people who feel like they're on the outer border of things?
Okay. Said,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it was that kind of thing. Like I use concrete
that's
things
amazing.
Yeah. to teach abstract concepts. And now what I do with autism is regarding autism is that I'm teaching connective or a connection through concrete concepts as well.
So want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So your children, so you said daughter, son, Jennifer, son. Other son?
2 sons.
Is that
girl,
as far as diagnoses go? Is that how the diagnoses went?
Yes, you got it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So after their diagnoses, did that change like their schooling situation, or did you add in different therapies, or were you already doing stuff? Or
so for me, the thing that I look back on and made the most difference for them therapy wise would be OT.
Yeah, I agree.
Sensory work. But seeing the differences that came out of OT, I think was huge.
Agreed. It is huge. I mean, cause like for us, I know at home, Connor used to full gallop into walls.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we did that too.
Yes. Into walls.
Yes. Like, oh yeah. Yeah.
And it would freak me out. I would thought he was gonna like dislocate his arm
or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Tanner would put his hands up and like slam his chest. He kind of turned his face at the last minute. He had it down to a science.
Oh,
but he
gosh.
Craved that slapping sound and that pressure. He never hurt himself, but that was just he liked that.
Yeah.
That slap.
Terrifying to watch though. You know?
Disturbing. Yeah. Disturbing.
Yeah. Disturbing.
Because yes. You think they're going to get hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just such an unusual behavior. And you're like, why are they choosing this over their toys that are right there or their sibling that is right in front of them? Why are they not in choosing human interaction or toy interaction over this very odd activity, you know?
Yeah.
And that's another thing too, like for as parents, that we all need to like extend compassion. It is terrifying when your little child starts doing these very unusual things that you never expected to see, and
absolutely.
You don't know what it means. You don't
and
know
they can
what
almost
means.
Appear self-injurious. And obviously we know from a lot of people in the profound community, it is self-injurious behavior.
Yeah.
And you think, surely this can't, you know, just we don't understand it. But but so the sensory bit really like intervening. So did you kind of like eat your words after the OT and you saw
results?
Oh, Lord,
totally. Yes. I mean, and then we hired the OT outside of OT to give them swim lessons because they were terrified of the water, which it seems to be usually kids are the other way around. Autistic kids seem to love the water.
They can't
love
the water.
What I wish we had. Would have been better social skills groups or training. Like for Mora, it wasn't until she was in middle school or closing in on middle school that there was anything really appropriate for girls. And it was, you know, then they did something like through D&D or which she didn't really play, but she would have just to kind of meet people. But, you know, that would have been, I think that would have been really helpful is to have more things for girls specifically, because it's a different kind of interaction. Girl friendships look different than boy friendships do.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Jennifer, when you got your diagnosis, you said you were 35?
Yeah.
Did you yourself then pursue different therapies for your own, for yourself?
Or? They don't even have it to my, you know, well, two things. Not to my knowledge, I don't think they even have like adult OT. But I realized that I used to do it back in the day for myself, right? So I mentioned I danced forever. Well, looking back on it, I used to spin. But but I was dancing.
You were dancing.
It didn't look like anything, right? You know, so I, looking back on it, there was a lot that I did to, for lack of a better term, self-medicate you know, that through the years kind of had helped. I think it gave me more validity, a sense of validity in looking back at what I had done and making sure that, you know, I was okay with kind of the choices that I had made, like, you know, even to a degree of like, you know, hey, good job. You came up with stuff that you needed.
And you figured out ways to meet the sensory needs.
Yeah. And, right. You know, little things like, Nikki, I don't remember if I said this to you or to Jenny Morella, but at the engagement party, somebody saw me doing this with my nails. And I think this was Jenny. And I always have my nails done. And the reason I have my nails done is because I will pick as my like fidget if I don't. So it's that sound, right? So I'm constantly, Dolly Parton did a song like that. And if Dolly Parton can mess with her nails, then I can too.
You can. So, yes, you can.
Yeah. I'm super curious. And I know I'm jumping probably a little ahead, but I'm just so curious because I know like how everyone gets discovered by the show.
Yes.
Because you're living, to me, you seem like you live on the East Coast. You were at school in the Northeast. You're on the East Coast, South. How did you get on the radar? Or what path did you cross to go Kian, Love on the Spectrum? How did it happen? Everyone has their story. So how did it happen?
In the world of autism before this show, I was pretty well known. Okay. The world of Asperger's autism, I guess we'll call it that kind of thing. I tell stories of like Temple Grandin rolling around on my shoes in a hotel room. Like there are, you know, that was kind of the world that I was, which is a very different part of the autism world than we know now. But, you know, that was kind of the world I was working in. Laura, who is with Northern Pictures, reached out when it was still an Australian show. And this was like days before the second season was coming out in Australia. Right. And she reached out to me and said, you know, we just got the green light to go ahead and start casting in the United States. Do you know some? She was asking me if I knew any people who would be up for participating in the show. And so the only person who came to mind was Danny, actually, that I knew.
Danny Bowman.
Danny Bowman. We ended up talking for like an hour and a half. And I guess I stuck in her head. Because so when they got, you know, here to the States, they reached out, and did either one of you know Sam at all? Sam Haber. She was, the production, manager at the time. And they reached out and it all happened very fast. I didn't even realize what was happening at first, which is so like classic me. But you know, I was having these long conversations with them about what I did. But I'm thinking like, I'm not looking to date. So what is, you know, how,
why they keep talking to me?
I'm
not dating, single.
Yeah, exactly. But then it was, so anyway, do you think you'd like to talk? First it was, we'd like, our director wants to talk to you. So there's Kian. And then it was, so come to Nashville and we're doing a screen test. And, you know, so, it all kind of happened pretty fast, and the person from Nashville didn't end up being on the show, but the screen test went real well apparently. So and that I actually did the rolling thing with that young man, and I guess Netflix liked it a lot. So here I ended up.
Love that story. And then, you know, our autism community is so polarized right now, but, and I don't want to linger there because we really want to like unify and stop that, you know, really genuinely from both of our hearts do. That's part of the intention of this. What is your opinion on the show? Like, how do you feel like it's impacted public opinion? Maybe people who didn't have anybody
right.
with a neurodiverse diagnosis in their life. What's your professional opinion? What's your observation? Because you've been on the ride from the beginning here.
Yeah.
What do you think the show has done for people and public perception?
I think it's been great, personally. The only things that I don't like are when you'll get things like, I think this has more to do with forgetting that we are all real people on the show and almost looking at them as characters, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that word a lot lately, the cast the actors. They're like, no, they're not.
And cast, I get, they're like just trying to figure out a word for everybody, you know?
But that makes sense.
But characters, like, or like you're saying, you know, the actor would know. What I've seen sometimes is sort of saying like, you know, they could, they, right? There's always the they, right? Like, could never hurt a soul, or they could never, they would never hurt, you know, they would never do this, that, or the other thing. I think that's dangerous when you're painting with big, strong brushstrokes that makes it sound like it's a little bit dehumanizing in a well-intended way. Like, you know, oh, pat, pat, pat on the head. Like, that, I think, isn't so hot. But that is about the only isn't so hot. Because to me, I think the response has been phenomenal. I think to see in the, you know, suddenly, first of all, everybody is kind of coming out of the woodwork and being like, well, actually, I do have somebody in my family who's on the spectrum, or, you know, like, right, you know, and which it's good, like, talk about it. It shouldn't be something that you're embarrassed of. And, you know, in the first place, right. The more we understand each other, the more we understand each other,
the better we can do.
Like, you know, so I think the show has been a tremendous boon to the community.
Jennifer, one thing that I mentioned at the beginning before we brought you in on the show was that, little known fact, you came to my house. You worked with Connor.
Yes.
And it ended up on the cutting room floor.
I know.
Which was a bummer.
I had a fun activity I wanted to do with Connor too. I had a balloon with me, and apparently Kian is anti-balloons. I don't know. Somebody was like, when I remember one of the producers was like, well, you know Kian with balloons. And I'm like, first of all, how would I know Kian with balloons? Like, what
Kian doesn't
that?
Like,
I
balloons? You had a balloon.
I had balloons with me in my purse. I had stuff I was going to do.
What's like, the
I
story was, with Kian and balloons? He just
have
doesn't
no
like
idea.
Them?
I don't know if it was said. Like, I should have known. Sorry, you know.
Sorry.
I don't know about Kian's bad experiences with balloons in the past, you know.
I didn't know that either.
But yeah, it was going to be showing how that you have to sort of be flexible in responding to things in real time. Because I know that the question I got when I was I should say this, they don't prep me at all, right, for whoever I'm going to meet.
So you're walking in blind.
I am walking in totally blind.
Wow.
Yes, I know the person's name. That is what I know. And
wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun? That's fun.
Not really, okay, though. Let me ask you, like, okay, I'm a little confused, though. Why is it done that way? To me, that would not be helpful.
Like, I would feel. It is not. It is. I don't know.
Like, I feel like you should have some little groundwork laid about this person's diagnosis, what level they are. Uh-huh. You know, maybe their particular areas of interest or their particular fears. Yeah. You know.
Anything like
that. You don't get any of that?
I get nothing.
Oof. I'm just assuming. I was just assuming that you have a little bit of a rundown on each person before you go in.
And like the majority of America or people in the world who are watching this show. Yeah, no, I know nothing.
Well, just like everybody thinks we see the show before it comes out.
There you
and
go.
We don't.
There
you go. That just made me mad respect that you're walking in blind and you're outside.
Yeah.
That's overwhelming. Holy cow.
It's pretty intense because you don't, like you said, you don't know. You know, God forbid, like, I think back to, like, when I worked with Madison, if I had said Maddie for some reason, I would have been so great. Like, I would have ruined the... But
right, like, that's the thing you need to know.
Yeah, but Kian seems to think that we get the best...
Authentic interactions.
I trust him. It's going well.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got a winning recipe. We can't take him.
I mean, it's his show.
Him,
yeah, exactly.
But since I wanted to put that out there that you did come over here, you did meet Connor, because the viewers don't see that. So
I'm so ready to do that. I was honestly very excited about that because they did tell me in the car. They told me two things about Connor when I was in the car getting ready to come in. They said he likes British royalty, which I was like, yes, this is my man. This is amazing. This is great. And then the other thing was that he wanted pickup lines. And I was like, okay, I don't think that's
God. Of course he did, Lise. Of course he did.
And of course, all he was probably thinking was, give me a script. Give me something to say.
An icebreaker. That's his movie thing. But you know him. I could see. And again, he gets the question wrong. Like, I need some pickup lines.
I think it's kind of funny. You know, like, it was great.
Because,
it would have been fun.
Because I love that. And you got to see both boys and meet young men. I got to stop. I'm the mom. I can't switch that off. He's always my boy. But like, what's it been like for you? Because now you've seen them, like watching Connor and Tanner's journey now over where they've landed from when you've
been a hot minute. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so proud of them. Like, I feel like, you know how, okay, like I said, I taught briefly. And you know how like the teacher says, like, I have 30 kids, right? Because they become... That's how I feel like. I feel like an aunt figure or a big sister, a mom figure to most of them. Like, you know, but I love that so much to get to see them coming into their own, right?
They
like,
are.
You know,
they really are
finding their footing, because that is just, I, it's, it's such a blessing. It's just such grace to see them finding the way that they can remain authentic to themselves, but realizing that they are appropriately the center of something important. I remember at the Emmy for your consideration, the FYC thing last year when the whole cast was there. And Lise, I remember the moderator saying to Connor, "Oh, you got a Brad Pitt thing going on." And seeing Connor's face to that was like, it was just the greatest thing, because he just, me, it was a great.
Well, then I remember he corrected him. He goes, I fancy myself more Ben Affleck.
Yes, he did.
Calm down,
exactly
Connor.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, and then this just, I mean, and this is with Tanner. I mean, this just happened where he was signing his autograph for Aaron Judge.
My favorite.
I love that so much.
I'm imagining the tee up, like, okay, you know, what's it, Judge? Alex, whatever. He's a judge. You know, we've got this young man over here, Tanner from Love on the Spectrum. Really, he's a fan. You need to go sign the hat. You know, can you make sure you just give the kid an autographed hat? I'm picturing the tee up. And then he goes over and it's, would you like my autograph?
Yeah.
Dude, are you Aaron?
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you want me to make this out to? Aaron?
It's great. But come on.
That's perfect, Jennifer. I love that. Yeah,
it's the best. It really is. They've come a long way, baby. They've come a long way. They both really have. Well, and Lisa and I say all the time, honestly, the experience of the show, throw love out the window. And I'm not belittling the importance of that part. But what it does for the people who are lucky enough to be participants on it, the growth in our household has been exponential. So it's just been such an opportunity for tremendous growth. Like,
I'm so glad.
Amazing growth. Like, we're forever grateful.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that, because that's what these kids deserve.
And I'm just grateful, for you being on the show, the participation and what you bring to the audience and how you show.
It's fascinating.
It is. We kind of thought it'd be fun to do like a little heart-to-heart lightning round with you. So like just kind of rapid fire questions, like going that the pace that you can handle them, but we want them. But I'll start off, Nikki. So
okay, you go first. Yep.
We'll go Jennifer, Nikki, me, whatever. We'll go around. But best piece of advice you ever got as a mom, Jennifer.
Okay, that's from my mom. It's the when life knocks you down, help somebody else up. I think that really
applies to
kids too, and showing them, and they do that now. They're all helping.
Okay, Nikki.
You are your children's shepherd, not their engineer.
Mm. Ooh.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's a hard one.
Very hard.
Especially as they get older. That's really hard.
And I think mine is, don't pray for what you want to happen. Just pray for the strength to get through whatever the will is and what's about to unfold.
There you go.
Yeah,
Those are good.
What do you wish someone had told you at the moment of your diagnosis?
This is going to be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Oh, love that. Wow. Yeah. And Nikki, I guess it's not your diagnosis, but Tanner's.
Honestly, same answer. Or he's going to blow your mind and you're going to learn more from him than anything else in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly feel the same way. It's like, I had no idea. The blessing.
And you can't see it at the beginning. I mean, I guess it was very different for you, Jennifer, as an adult who'd been looking for answers. But when you get it for your baby, when you get it from the mother perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It was still scary. And what does that mean for her /him?
Slash him. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And then two more. One thing that fills your cup. So, Jennifer?
My dog and my kids. But I said my dog first. That's terrible.
No, it's not.
No, it doesn't have to be your kids.
At the age your kids are at, the dogs are starting to trump them. Yeah.
I know. I like going out. I like doing fun things. I like getting gussied up. And also, I like being with my people. Yeah. You know? Yeah. The family really does.
Nikki?
Well, I mean, are we leaving kids out of it? Since we're like,
it can be whatever you want, whatever fills your cup.
Well,
seriously.
Definitely like watching my adult kids be adults. It's been like such a joy. It's like so satisfying and so rewarding. And fitness, time with my girlfriends. I love it. It makes me feel good about myself and just makes me feel strong.
I miss that.
honestly, what really fills my cup is downtime with the family. My husband and Jennifer, I know I'm remarried. Yep. We have a blended family. He came in with kids and my kids. Yep. What we have done, and it wasn't easy, was we really blended a tight bond. And now 14 years down the road, it's this cool smoothie. We actually have a group family chat called Smoothie.
I love that.
We're just a bunch of blended fruits. We call it the smoothie chat.
Blended fruits.
We are. We're all a bunch of blended fruits. But what fills my cup is time with them. But time with them, and I love that you get gussied up. I actually love now, and I used to love all of that. I love when I don't have to put on makeup.
Oh, yeah.
I throw on a hat. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I catch myself apologizing to my husband. I'm sorry. I'm like not doing. He goes, I actually think you're prettier like this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so sweet.
Boy. So sweet.
Yeah,
that's
I know, so right? He's like, actually, you look relaxed to me. Because when you're all done up, you're like in mode. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That makes
sense. So I think downtime with the smoothies.
I love that so very much.
And then Jennifer, I guess Wiz can wrap it and just be there with you because I don't know that Nikki and I need to say this one, but what would you tell your younger, undiagnosed self?
I think I might say something along the lines of you really are lovable.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yep. I think I've seen that with so many young people mm-hmm. on the spectrum, but grownups too. But who truly feel like they're not when it comes down to it. And so there's the constant effort to be likable and lovable. Yeah. And you end up loving for crumbs. And I think that's a sad thing.
That is a sad
thing. Been there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful, wow. That's a powerful, great way to end it. And I want to thank you so much for your time.
Guys.
Jennifer, tell our audience on social media, if they don't already follow you, where they can follow you. Tell us where they can find your children's books, adult books, all the different things you're doing besides Love on the Spectrum.
Sure. So, I have to say I'm finally getting my button gear on socials because it doesn't come naturally to me.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
So just on Instagram, really, I'm just, Facebook too, but who cares? It's mostly Instagram. So it's just across the board, it's Jennifer Cook Author. And so that's also my website is Jennifer Cook Author and the books are listed there, but you can just go to Amazon and type my name in and they'll come up as well.
Okay, so, love it.
And hopefully we'll be seeing you somewhere at some event sometime soon.
I know that would be really nice. I wanted so much to go to the dang, comedy thing, but my daughter, you know, was graduating.
You had graduation. That's right.
We missed it too. So it was a bummer. But I don't know. Maybe hopefully there's some gold statues in September.
There you go. That would be fun.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Yeah.
All right, Jennifer. Thank you. Thanks. So cool to talk to you. Well, Lisa, I enjoyed that so much. It was so cool to get to know Jennifer on a more personal, just woman to woman basis rather than just from what we knew on the show. That was really cool.
I know. I learned so many new things about her today.
Yeah, that was interesting. I love everybody's story. So cool to get everybody's story. It was awesome.
So fun. And so, like we said, we're true to our word.
Yep.
That there's more of this to come. We've got lined up people set up. It's going to be a really fun,
really
ride
interesting
going forward. So
we are so excited. We want you to know how much we appreciate you turning in, but don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. That helps us out so much when you do that. And as always, you know that we love you.
Mean it.
Hope everybody has a great week. Bye.
Pioneer.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.